Audience, what's up? It's Greg Sestero here to introduce you to the True Blue Riffcast, where they talk about amazing movies, bad movies, and everything in between. So you're listening to the True Blue Riffcast. Enjoy it.
Thanks, Greg. This is the True Blue Riffcast, the number one Riff Tracks podcast in the world. I am Jeremy, and I'm joined, as always, by...
Sup? Everyone, I'm Dave, I don't know how this episode of the True Blue Riffcast is really going to go,
because, yeah, man,
I mean, do you want to take, I mean, we're, it's going to be one of those, what's up, Gunsage? I have the chat up. I actually have a thing where I can actually see the chat, so I can respond to chatters in real time if I feel like it.
I'm having a weird issue with the cameras. Actually, I don't know. It keeps graying out. I just have to keep clicking on it. But if you can't see us, just let me know in the chat, and I'll try and fix it. But yeah, this has been a day. This has been a couple of days for me.
Yeah.
I kind of want to go on a rant, but I'm going to wait a minute.
Okay.
I want to get through our...
this is your podcast. You can go on a rant if you want.
I am going to, but you're just going to have to wait a minute, because I'm going to do it after we get through our regular little departments here. Then I got a rant to go on, and then Dave's going to talk about corn sharks.
Am I?
Unfortunately, he's going to talk about corn sharks.
Oh my gosh! Well,
what is it? Sharks of the corn field, or
yeah, the sharks of the corn. It's sharks not. Corn. I don't have great things to say about it. The 2021 Tim Ritter movie, Sharks of the Corn. I watched a couple weeks ago, and I watched again today. and I don't have any new insights, but we're going to attempt
Tim Ritter. That name sounds familiar.
He was a director of Truth or Dare, our favorite riff of the year so far. Definitely not Rad.
Yeah. Yeah. Which was released on VOD this past Friday. And I was able to find myself and my wife in the line in the end credits of it, and also the back of my head in the theater a few times when they did kind of the little wider shots with the first like five rows of the audience. But yeah, first of all, we have to take a look at what the hell James Wan is doing.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah.
What's he doing? What could he possibly be doing that like we haven't already covered? Is he saying something insane about Birdemic or climate change, global warming?
The answer is yes.
Okay.
The answer to both of those is yes.
Okay, well, this is probably my idea. I don't know why we're still doing this.
On November 4th, he tweeted out that he was at the American Film Market, AFM 23.
Oh, I know he was there.
He was there pitching the Birdemic Trilogy 2 to Hollywood producers.
Really?
Yeah. And then on November 6th, he posted Birdemic Trilogy 2 with the three little paintings. And it says 10 million plus sequel or bust.
Those people are not going to...
You're not going to get $10 million to make three new Birdemic films, James. It's not going to happen. And then...
I wish I could say something. I made a big deal about something on Facebook and in the Discord. The Dave Chadwick Discord, I should say.
Yeah.
About something. And I told Jeremy what it was because...
Which houses the True Blue Riffcast?
Yes.
It's kind of nested in there.
Oh, and by the way, everybody from the Dave Chadwick Discord who's in the chat, welcome. I'm glad you're here. I do see you guys there, and I am very glad that you are watching us live. But there is something going on there at this event that James Wen just referenced in regards to that big news. I can't say anything yet, but as soon as I can, I will. Jeremy knows what it is.
Yes, I kind of know what it is. But we got one more thing that he tweeted out an hour ago. Mm-hmm. Climate fix, partially inspired by JFK's speeches. Hashtag actionism. Hashtag COP28. And then there's a couple of pictures. One of them that says,
that again? What's he saying?
Is it climate fix? And everything in climate fix is in caps except for the I in climate. It's really weird. But it says partly inspired by JFK's speeches. Hashtag actionism.
Okay. Well, my camera decided it wanted to fall. So
again,
I'm just going to assume that. Well, I thought it wasn't going to this week. It didn't do it at all last week. But
I wonder why. Because we weren't here last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because
it was Halloween.
Did you have a good Halloween, Jeremy? Did you go take your kids trick or treating?
Yeah, it was fine. We have a bucket of candy that I'm trying not to eat from every time I walk past it on the dining room table.
Well, then what in the hell is it there for?
Just not every time I walk past it.
Oh, I see.
But this post has a couple pictures with it. One, of course, is JFK's famous quote, we choose... Okay, I just realized that this is laid out really poorly. I'm going to read it how the text on the thing is laid out. It looks like a magnet or something. But it says, we choose not to go to the moon in because this decade they and do the are other easy things, but because they are hard. That's how it's laid out on the magnet. But it's that quote, we choose to go to the moon in this decade and to do other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
No, Jeremy, you mispronounced it there. I'm sorry. It's in this decade. All right.
Yes.
In this decade. That's Chowda. How JFK said it. Show some respect.
And then Impossible Made Possible with a profile of JFK, his face. And then Climate Fix. No Extinction. ClimateFix.Earth, which takes you to that little short nonsense thing that James Wan made. That's it. That's all the updates we have on James Wan.
Okay, good. The man, we have to make room for all the other exciting things we have to talk about tonight.
The man is insane. Yeah, so one of the other exciting things is our weekend box office. The number one movie, of course, Five Nights at Freddy's, with an astonishing 76% drop from last week. It made $19 million, and it was still the number one movie. The number two movie was still Taylor Swift Eras Tour. The number three movie was still Killers of the Flower Moon. Number four was
Forgan.
Priscilla, and number five was Radical, which is not to be confused with Rad.
Yes, I had a feeling you were going to make that distinction. Yes. You didn't hear my joke.
I did. Forgan, okay. Yes.
Yes.
They said that they actually mentioned something about that sequel this week where they said it's going to
really
deal more with the AI concerns.
Oh.
Nobody cares. Except for dumb teenagers who are going to go see it because it's a PG-13 movie. Yeah. But now we get to move on to our newest department, Dave.
Oh, that's right. We're going to play a game. Everybody, yeah, I'm in the dock.
It's Dave That Riff this week.
Are we still calling it that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, geez. I forgot to change.
Explain the rules for the first-time viewers.
So I have a list of three quotes that I pulled from different riffs. Some of them are usually quotes from the movie, and some are riffs from the movie. This time, all three of them are riffs.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Now, interesting thing about this is that I reminded Jeremy. I said, hey, you remembered to pull quotes for the game tonight, right?
Yeah, it was
like, oh, crap.
10 minutes before the podcast. So These are all going to be very easy for Dave this week.
Well, don't say that because now I'm going to get up. Now I'm going to go 0 for 3.
Yeah, you'll 100%.
I did okay last time.
Yeah, you had two out of three last time, and I only had one the last time I did it, so. The first one is a riff that was released in 2014.
Okay.
And the quote is, "Snossages?"
Oh, I know this. I know it. Oh, God, 2014. Give me one clue.
The first clue, Shelly Hack.
Oh, this is The Last Slumber Party.
The Last Slumber Party, right.
That's right, okay.
Good job. The second clue was, this movie has lots of 80s speak that is problematic.
That is very problematic, correct. Yes. So Snossages, for guys who don't know, go buy The Last Slumber Party. It's one of the greatest riffs of all time. Criminally underrated, where the killer in the surgical mask just pops up and Kevin Murphy's like, "Snossages?"
Yes.
All right.
All right. Good job. This one might be a little harder.
Okay. Well, I had to use the last one was super easy and I had to use a clue. So
this one, the quote is, "How is that Bible not bursting into flames?"
What's that Bible not bursting into flames? Oh, this is. Well, you have to give me the year, too.
Oh, last year, 2022.
Oh, this is a 2022? How's that Bible not bursting into flames?
Yep.
See, now, I would say, since it's 2022, I would say, if it was a decade prior, that it was Twilight Breaking Dawn part one, when Bella and Edward are getting married. And, we're here to join between Edward Cullen and Bella Swan. And Bill says, "And also my Bible has burst into flames for some reason." But since I insisted you give me the year according to the rules of the game.
Yeah.
If it was last year, now I have to think what came out last year that could have been that. because Amityville was 2021, right?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Give me one clue.
It has a creepy and sinister clown.
Crap. Is it? Hack-O-Lantern. Is it Hack-O-Lantern?
It's not Hack-O-Lantern.
All right. Well, then, well, I screwed this one up. I'm going
well,
two for three.
Here's your second clue.
Well, the second clue is, okay.
It was directed by Wisconsinite Bill Rabane.
Now, okay. Is this the one with... I know what one it is, but I can't remember the name of it.
Do you remember who plays the clown?
It's a Halloween one, right?
Do you remember who plays the clown?
I know. Isn't it Tiny something?
Tiny Tim, yes.
Yeah, Tiny Tim, yeah.
Through the tulips. Blood Harvest is the movie.
Blood Harvest. I knew what it was, but I couldn't remember the name of the movie. So I shouldn't get it if I don't know the name of the movie.
Yeah.
But we'll put an asterisk next to that one because I knew it. I just didn't know the name of the movie.
Just couldn't quite remember it.
Yeah, I couldn't quite like get there. Yeah.
All right. The last quote for you for today, also from 2022.
Okay.
Non infringing.
Oh, is this Jurassic Shark?
Jurassic Shark. Yes.
That's right. Okay.
Your clues for this one was that this has another beer shirt guy added to the Riff Tracks canon, the Hog's Back Brewing Company. And yeah. This beach has more rocks than Pebble Beach, which I believe was the name of our episode where we talked about that one.
The episode we talked about. That was a really good one. I think that is also criminally underrated.
Yes, that was a good one. So there we go. There's Dave that Riff.
Three.
Two for three. Not bad. Not bad at all.
We should make these longer. We should go like five.
Five? Maybe.
Maybe.
After your next turn, then maybe we'll do that.
Yeah, after your next turn, I think you mean.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. Sorry.
Okay.
My brain's a little scrambled lately. These last couple days have been... I've been in hold hell with Google. Back at the beginning of the month, my wife's Pixel phone... It must have been a bad, like an update that bricked something. But it stopped recognizing her SIM card. We tried switching it with a different SIM card, and that didn't work. So I contacted the preferred care thing that we pay like $5 a month or whatever for it. And they're like, yeah, sure, we can get you a replacement device. It'll be shipped out next day air on Monday, so you'll have it on Tuesday, probably at the latest. And we did. We got it on Tuesday, and all was good for like 2 weeks. And then that phone decided that the screen didn't want to work anymore.
Oh, no.
So I contacted the preferred care thing again, and they said, well, since this is already a replacement device... instead of us sending you the replacement first, you have to send us the broken phone first. And I'm like, whatever, that sucks. It'll take a couple extra days. But if that's what I got to do to get another one without buying a whole new phone, then that's what I'm going to do. So that was shipped out on October 30th. I checked the next day, the tracking, just to see if it had been delivered yet. It said it was at the FedEx facility in Irving, Texas. Which is about 15 minutes away from the Google warehouse in Grapevine, Texas, where it had to go. So I'm like, all right, it'll be there. No problem. So now it's a week later, and the tracking still says that it was at the FedEx facility at Irving, Texas, and now it just says pending, and it has a big yellow exclamation point. And so I'm like, well, that's not good. So I
that's
called.
That's not a good thing.
Well, it also, when I did tracking, it said it was a duplicate tracking number. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of weird. But whatever. Because the other one was from when we sent it back at the beginning of October. And at the mm-hmm. so it had the delivery for the 5th and then this other one that was pending. So I called FedEx, and they're like, oh, yeah, it says that it was delivered on October 5th. And I'm like, yes, it was. And then for some reason I got a label with the same tracking number, and now it says it's at the place in Irving, Texas. Oh, all it says on our end is that it was delivered on October 5th. And so I can't help you. I'm like, okay. I'm like, can we, like, open... It says you can, like, file, like, open a claim or an investigation or whatever. She's like, yeah, but all it says is it was delivered on October 5th, so we can't help you. Oh, my God. Okay. So I open up the Google Store chat again and was in there for an hour and 45 minutes talking to this guy who kept coming back and saying, it'll be about 5 to 10 more minutes. Please continue waiting. And finally get all the way to the end of this conversation, and he says, oh, well, I got good news. The replacement team has said it's okay. You can replace your defective device. You just got to send it to us. And I'm like, I already did that. This is the problem. I sent it, and it's vanished. It is gone. It is in the ether. Thanks to what I discovered was that the person that I contacted to send this device back sent me the same paperwork for the original replacement. So it still has the October 1st date on it. It has the return authorization number from that shipment, and it has the phone's IEMI number from the first device that we sent in. And that's why the tracking number was the same, because it was literally the same label that they sent us. So I was trying to explain this to the guy in the chat, and he was like, okay, thanks for the information. I am 100% convinced that I was talking to a bot, that it was not an actual person.
Well, yeah.
That it was like an AI bot, and it was not doing a very good job of figuring things out. So they have a thing to get a phone call from them. I did that yesterday, explained it to the person. They said, okay, I got to put you on hold for a couple minutes. I got to talk to somebody on this whatever team, and then I'll be right back. I was on hold a total of an hour in a 1 hour and 10 minute long phone call. And anybody who might follow me on Facebook noticed that I was a little upset. They have a snippet of music that they play on loop, and it sounds like circus clown music.
Now, would you like to play some of that right now?
I should be able to.
Oh, I thought that's where you're going. I thought you had it queued up.
I don't know where the file is. It's in here somewhere.
That, but now I kind of feel bad that maybe we should like produce the show before we go.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not assume things.
So anyway,
put you on the spot.
It's just in Facebook messages. I don't have Facebook up, so I forgot about that music when I called back today, by the way, because my ADHD. And so as soon as the person put me on hold, I got to listen to the killer clown music again. And I say killer clown because it makes you want to murder somebody. But I decided today, because they're like, okay, well, somebody from our support team will contact you shortly. That was when I got off the phone yesterday with them. Well, it's over 24 hours later, and I haven't heard anything from anybody. So I'm like, all right, this is ridiculous. My wife needs her phone. Because the one she's using right now is... Android is on their 14th operating system right now. Her phone is running the 7th operating system. That's how old it is.
Oh, wow.
It works for phone calls, and it kind of works for texting. The text, I don't know, it's hit or miss if it's going to send it. So it's awful. And so I'm like, all right, I'll just get back on the chat today. And I got back on the chat, and I started getting jerked around again. It was the same, oh, I'll be back in 5 to 10 minutes, just hang on.
Bro. Let me tell you something about these people that you're talking to. They work in a call center.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
I know.
They, like, speaking 100%. For someone who worked, I'm not going to say for which company, but it was definitely was not AT&T. They don't care.
Oh, they no. Don't. I know they don't. This was about the time when I messaged Dave.
Yeah.
And I told the person eventually that I'm just like, you know what? Can I speak to a supervisor? Just someone who might actually be able to help me.
Did you go with this? Full Karen?
No, I didn't. I try my hardest not to do that. Yeah. I try my hardest not to do that at all. And, but she was like, okay, the supervisor, will call you in 2 to 4 hours. And I'm like, no,
that's not going to happen, bro.
I'm not doing that. I'm not waiting anymore.
Bob,
yeah.
Like, and he's very busy in a meeting. Can I schedule a call back? They don't.
No, I know. And that's why
just
the
way to get rid of you. I'm dead serious. That's the way to get rid of you.
Yeah. And I told him, I said, no, I'm not waiting. They can contact me now, or you can transfer this chat to them. Cause I know you can just do that between people.
Well, and okay, like, she was most like, of the time, the manager, like their supervisor is literally sitting right next to them.
Yeah.
And they're like,
oh, I know.
They put you on mute. Say, hey, do you want to talk to this guy? And they'll be like, no.
And if it's a chat, they don't even have to put you on mute. They just have to say something to him. And I said, no, that's not going to work. I'm going to be on the air in 2 hours. And then I'm like, oh, actually, no, maybe he could call me in 2 hours. And then I'll just put him on the air with me.
We really want to do that on the True Blue Riffcast, though?
At this point, Dave, yes.
Okay.
But then she disconnected me from the chat. She was like, well, my supervisor's busy. Bye. And like disconnected me. And so then I got on the phone and I called. And that's why we started a little bit late today, because I was still on the phone with the guy. But I finally got talking to a person who actually understood what the issue was, or at least seemed to understand what the issue was, and wanted to put me on hold again right before we were going live. And I'm like, yeah, I can't. And he said that he was going to email me. So whatever,
we'll
I'll probably be making more phone calls again tomorrow. But so yeah, that's my fun thing. Like, they can't understand that they screwed up and sent me the wrong paperwork, and that's why this phone is vanished, because they sent me the wrong crap to begin with.
Very frustrating.
So yeah, that's my little rant. Not quite as bad as what, like,
it's not
like
nearly as bad.
A soccer sized smash and windshield, soccer ball sized.
I wasn't going to say anything about that, but I mean, so what? Okay. What Jeremy is talking about, guys, is that I've had a couple of repairs done on this new car that I bought on July 28th. We won't get into that because we already talked about that a little bit here. And anything I say might be used in a court of law. But
there's
I
a
decided,
good possibility.
Yeah. But I decided to take, when I got it back, the second time, I decided just to take it for a little stroll into Wyoming, just to like get comfortable with the car again. And I go to this gas station called Little America. I'll Google it. It's a gorgeous place to drive to in Wyoming, to like clear your head and to like you know like test the a new engine out. And it's like, okay, cool. So I think we're going back. So I'm driving back from Wyoming, and I'm almost to Evanston, and like out of the corner of my eye, I see like this softball sized rock just coming right at me. And I couldn't get out of the way because it was just like instant bam. And I sent Jeremy the picture of how this thing just demolished my windshield. Jeremy, back me up. How does it look?
It looks real bad. Like real bad.
Yeah,
like I said,
it
looks
bad.
Like it looks like it's about the size of a soccer ball, if not bigger.
Yeah, but so I had to get my windshield replaced, and that added another couple of days where I couldn't really drive the car around. It's all taken care of now. It's fine. It's okay. But I was
at least that's
it was
okay.
Just kind of like it was just kind of like the icing on the cake after everything that went wrong to like I'm driving back and then suddenly now I have to get a new windshield. I wasn't even mad. I was just like, I can't believe this just happened. And I got to drive all the way from Evanston to Ogden with this huge, Jeremy, back me up. I know I just said back me up, but back me up again. How huge this freaking crack is.
It's like the size of my head, which is large. Quite large.
So, and I would like to commend the Utah Highway Patrol for showing some restraint and not pulling me over and giving me a ticket. Because that is exactly the kind of a-hole move that they would do.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough of the Complaino cast.
Us complaining. Yep.
Now let's move on to complaining cast. About something else, and that's Corn Sharks.
Oh God! You didn't even
Dave's
watch
fault.
This movie.
I haven't watched the movie
is it?
Yet. No. Yes, you're the one who said we had to talk about this.
Well, no, I suggested that maybe we could talk about it, but that was like 2 weeks ago.
And here we are.
Like, hey, let's. And then you're like, today, after I've forgotten the movie, I had to watch it again. Jeremy's like, hey, today would be a good day to talk about Sharks of the Corn. And I was like, oh, I've completely forgotten that movie. So I watched it again today. Because I don't know if Jeremy had any other movies he had, because I knew he was going through some tough stuff. I don't know if he had a chance to watch the Amityville Dollhouse.
I did watch Riff Tracks Live Rad on VOD.
You've seen that.
I did see it. I saw it when I was there, and I
live.
Wanted to watch
you saw
it again.
It live in Nashville, Tennessee.
I know. And I wanted to relive that experience, and I did. And I found myself in the crowd multiple times.
Well, at least you're able to relive your Riff Tracks Live experience. Mine is lost.
I mean, you can still... There's still the riff itself.
Yeah, the riff itself, but not the live show. I mean, there is the soapy short that they released, which is nice, but it's not the whole thing. And I don't get to see myself in the thing like you did. Apparently, I was told this by our good friend, Joey Hollywood, that he and his fiance, who I'm very good friends with, Mary, were at Riff Tracks Live, and they saw. I guess they saw me in the audience. They said that they cut to me a few times. And I was like, I wish I could see that, but you know, they can't release the VOD of because it's Mothra and it's copyrighted.
Yeah,
but okay, I'm just delaying talking about Sharks of the Corn.
Well, first of all, who was the director of Sharks of the Corn? This is what ties it into Riff Track stuff.
Yeah, so Sharks of the Corn is this garbage, awful movie directed by Tim Ritter. Now, I didn't even know who Tim Ritter was until I was listening to our podcast back. It was actually the same day I got hit by that freaking rock. It was on the way out to Little America. About Truth or Dare. And we were talking about like the teenager that wrote this thing in like 1986. And it was Tim Ritter. And I was like, yeah. Tim Ritter, I know that name. And it turns out that Tim Ritter also directed a movie called like Slash Fest or something by a guy starring it starred a guy named Asbestos Felt, if you can believe it. I'm not even kidding. Felt. That's the Asbestos Felt. That, and he is also in Truth or Dare. I think he was one of the orderlies. And he did like five or six Truth or Dare movies, but he also direct. I recognize Tim Ritter's Sharks of the Corn. Now, let me tell you why I watched this movie in the first place. This is going to be, we're going to wind the clock back to 2012.
Can I mention one thing real quick about, sure. Tim Ritter, after Sharks of the Corn, which has a 1.8 out of 10 rating on IMDb, by the way. He also did a movie called Catnado last year, which actually has a 4.5 out of 10 rating. And yeah, the tagline for it is, it's like Sharknado, but with cats.
Yeah, well... but this movie is really, like, it's offensively bad. Like, it's kind of like one of those, like, on-purpose bad movies, but it's also not. And I'll get to that, but I'll get to the reason that I watched this movie in the first place. Is that, and this is also Riff Tracks related, is that in the year 2012, I decided that I hadn't written a novel in a while, and I always wanted to do a serial novel. And there's this really funny riff in the sixth Harry Potter riff. Gotta remember all the Harry Potters now. Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, I think, is Harry Potter 6.
Okay.
And they're in the barley field that's outside the Weasleys' house, and they're having like a wand battle with like some werewolves or some dumb shit. And there's a constant movement out in the barley. And like they think it's like corn something, but one of the things was corn shark. And then like Mike says, it's barley. And I was like, that's funny. That's corn shark, like a shark going through the corn. Like, I think that was a real funny thing. And I came up with this idea, and I called this idea Corn Shark. And it's basically that. It's a shark that is like, my idea was that it was a cryptid, a shark-based cryptid in Nebraska. And that it was basically Jaws in Nebraska with this shark cryptid. And I had a few other ideas that I threw in there. I started serializing it. It didn't work out. I ran out of gas and I abandoned it. But here in the last few days, I found the old manuscript, like the only thing that, and I started like, found an old manuscript, the printout from a decade ago, and I started converting it back into digital form because the digital form of it from before doesn't exist anymore. And I was like, well, some of this is pretty funny. Some of this I really like, and I might want to give it another chance. So I took like the best parts, and I was like, well, I do know, because I did talk about it on Twitter, because I was serializing it. I was making a big thing before it all just kind of failed. a few years ago, this guy, Tim Ritter, announced that he was making a movie called Sharks of the Corn, and people who knew me started tagging me in it. Like, isn't this your idea? And I was like, guys, ideas are cheap. If they want to make this movie, it's fine. But I saw like the trailer for it a couple of years ago, and they released it in 2021, and I looked at it and it just looked terrible. And I was just like, okay, I can't ever do Corn Shark. I can't do my idea. Not because you can't do an idea that has already been done, even though it was technically my idea first, and if I wanted to do it, I could just like do my version of it and do it better. So that's not my real complaint that I would be taking somebody else's idea. I don't really think that that is applicable, not only because it was my idea first, but also like, okay, if I wanted to do the idea, I could just do it again. Ideas are cheap. Ideas are worthless. It is the execution that matters. This is my philosophy. But I watched this movie just so that I could see what they did. And I watched it full, and I just, it's worse. It might be one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
We've seen some really bad movies.
It is Polonia level bad. Ooh. Like, I can't even, like, I suppose I could, and like, I think this is one of the things that is like preventing me from like pursuing a Corn Shark revival in a way, or a Corn Shark reboot, is that I really don't want to be associated with the idea that spawned this movie, because it really is worse than Birdemic 2 and like Sharknado and like these bad on purpose movies. Yeah. Because it's bad on purpose, but it's also not. I suppose like the best way for me like to describe it is kind of like answer your questions about it, because like the movie itself, it's one of those movies where it's so dumb and so poorly written that your brain just kind of like, it doesn't want to follow along. Like, I could maybe kind of give you like the broad strokes. But I've watched it twice, and I just barely finished it again like 2 hours ago. And me being able to, like, me using like my brain power to like describe it, my brain is like, no, I'm not going to let you do that. It really is that bad. So Jeremy, throw some questions out at me, because I really think that's like the only way that I could like just like describe it. Because like, if you want to go from like the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie, like, I don't know if I can, I don't know if I can do that, because it's so incomprehensible and so bad. Like Tim Ritter, like, okay, you look at Truth or Dare, which was 1986.
Yeah.
You would think that he got better. No, this movie is demonstrably worse. I don't even know if I'm using that term correctly. It is like you look at it and you go, okay, which is the better film? This film that he made in 1986 when he was 17, or this film in, do the math, however old he is now, that was released in 2021. Which one is going to be better? He's made a million movies since then. You would think that this one would be better. No, this one is like theaters level bad.
Is there actually sharks in the corn? First question.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. That. Well, it's a shark puppet, but it's sort of like a shark demon, I think, because there's like a weird cult, like that's how they justify it, and it's somehow connected to like Stonehenge. It's all very poorly explained.
Stonehenge?
Yeah, like stone, it like it's connected to Stonehenge, and the shark somehow gets its power from Stonehenge, and this place in Kentucky is kind of like a city of like cosmic significance that like lines up with Stonehenge, and oh, they have God. To get like 600, and I think there's like a serial killer that like has killed 666 victims to bring about the shark antichrist. It's really stupid.
Yeah, so, I'm looking shark, and it says like, something yeah, about yeah. It was a
guys, I really did watch this movie, I promise, but it's so incomprehensible. Like, this is the only way I can explain it.
A shark themed serial killer who turns out to be following a shark goddess cult that's awaiting an alien shark signal routed through Stonehenge that will turn all of the cult's followers into human shark hybrids.
Where are you reading this?
This is somebody's description of the movie. Just this is in a post like that I'm reading from 7 months ago.
Like, okay, here's the thing. Like, it doesn't have a Wikipedia page. It doesn't have like a description. I don't even think it has a plot synopsis on IMDb. Like, but to assist you in this. But one of like, okay, so
it says it has strong incel / internet libertarian vibes.
What?
That's how somebody's describing the movie.
Well, someone's inserting their own politics on.
I think this is intentional slop, but it's not smart enough for that to be the movie's main problem.
Yeah, no. Well, they're correct about that. Is that okay? So, like, it. So, I guess I should elaborate on this. Is that it tries to be bad on purpose, but it really just ends up being bad, which is like a common pitfall in movies that tries to be like this, but it's also just bad. Like it's feeders level bad, not only on a production level, but like on just it's so hard to like describe. It's like it might be worse than Roller Gator in terms of production, and what also about, in terms of like Baby Ghost.
Yeah, I was gonna say Baby Ghost. Yeah.
Ooh, that's...
I know that's a tough
that's
one
a tough
to be
call.
Worse than Baby
that's
Ghost.
That's a tough call. But I think I'll say... You know what? I'm going to say that this is worse than Baby Ghost. Oh. Because the humor... Okay, so let's talk about... Okay, so I guess I can get into like the beginning, middle, and end a little
Mike
bit.
Said
or at
Copper
least
Mountain.
The beginning.
Is it worse than Copper Mountain?
Ooh, I don't know about that.
I mean, you have watched it
might
twice
be
now,
worse.
So
it might be worse than Copper Mountain. But like, okay, look, here's the thing about Copper Mountain. Copper Mountain is the worst Riff Tracks. This isn't Riff Tracks. This is not a Riff Tracks movie. So I think I can get away with saying that it's worse than Copper Mountain. Riff Tracks didn't make me watch this movie. I did this of my own accord.
You did this to yourself.
Yeah.
At least the first time you did it to yourself. The second time, I guess, technically,
second time
I did
it was your fault. Yeah. But, so it starts off and, and there's this really unappealing couple, to put it generously. Like, I don't want to be unkind, but I also do. But like these two unattractive people are on a blanket out by a cornfield, and this guy is drinking absolute right from the bottle, and it's like this guy is just gonna die of alcohol poisoning. And they had just got back from like I guess a county fair, and he'd won the corn eating competition.
Oh my god!
In Kentucky, someplace. Or Druid Hills, Kentucky. I don't know if that's a real place.
What was the name of it?
Druid Hills, Kentucky. Probably if you Google it, you're probably just going to get Sharks of the Corn. So this.
Oh, it is a city
couple,
in Kentucky.
Oh, is it really? Okay.
Yeah.
So he won the corn eating competition, and this really turns like this sweaty, gross actress who isn't very good like on, and she's being like, all right, the corn king, chase me through the cornfield. Now if I'm drunk and sorry moms, sorry Twitch, if I'm super drunk and you want to have sex with me, I'm not going to chase you.
Yeah,
I will not do it. Sorry. I know I don't know why this is a thing that chicks think that this is like a fun thing that they want men to do, is to chase them to bone. Okay. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it when I'm sober. I'm certainly not going to do it when I'm drunk.
Yeah.
So if you want to get busy, we can do that. I'm just not going to chase you. Okay. I'm not going to do it. But she's like, okay, so if you wanna do me, I'm gonna start taking all my clothes off and running through this cornfield. So she does that, and this big old fat dude gets up and just starts like wambling like through the cornfield, and she's like, and I'm like, I can't believe they're doing this. I mean, like, I can, but at the same time, I'm like, no, don't do this for Sharks of the Corn, lady. Don't do this. Keep your dignity, please. And it would be different, and I hate to say this, it would be different if the actress was younger and hotter. But she's not younger and hotter. She's got to be our age. I felt like, I'm not even kidding, I felt like I was watching my older sister strip.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah. And like putting like her clothing like on the sock. Okay, so she comes across this shark scarecrow, and someone has put a cob of corn on its crotch and be like, hey, what's going on here? There's no reason why this shark scarecrow, number one, has to be a shark, number two, has to have a corn boner. Okay? There's no reason for that. But she takes her like one of her tops off and puts it on the corn boner and be like, I'll come back for you later. And I was like, please no. So she finally takes like it like zooms right in on like her, sorry moms, right in on her tatties as she like takes off. It's like, no, don't. Oh no, this is bad. And so, but then like the shark puppet comes and eats her, and that's how we start Sharks of the Corn. And
I was, oh my gosh.
And already you're just like, it's like the opposite of it's, and number one, it's like bright as day. It's like high noon.
You are absolutely making this up.
No, I'm not.
I do not believe that is actually.
Why would I go on for that long if that wasn't true? How could I? But like that is how Sharks of the Corn starts. And so they arrest the boyfriend because they think the boyfriend murdered her or like ate her or something. I don't know what's going on. And we never see the boyfriend again. But instead it shifts focus to the shark serial killer, whose name I don't know. And he has like a shark shrine in a hotel room. And he goes out and he gets a hooker at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Brings her back to, oh, the hooker says something kind of like, I don't understand why this is a thing. Like why she said it this way. And she's like, okay, now if we're going to do it, it's going to be $60 now and $60 after we're done. Now, I've.
What?
Yeah. Guys, I have never been with a hooker. I have never solicited a prostitute for intercourse. So I don't know the protocol. However, I can't imagine, why can't I just give you $120 right now before the lovin'? So I don't know why that was a thing.
Yeah, I don't know. That's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So they go to the hotel room and he murders her with like a shark jawbone from Jaws. And is like
is that the shot in the trailer where like he goes down like it's in like it looks like a hotel room and like her face is,
it
like
is a hotel
ripped
room.
Open.
It's like the hotel room from Dangerous Men. I half expected her to have a knife in her butt.
Butt knife.
But so that's like one of like the 666 sacrifices to summon Corn Shark Satan. And then it cuts to there. There's this weird subplot of this guy from the CIA going undercover with the mafia because the shark cult is a terrorist threat. And then there's another guy who, okay, so fast forward through all this nonsense and all this horrible bad where everything's shot in someone's bedroom or living room or hotel room, because Tim Ritter's filmmaking skills and his production clout has dropped so far that he can't even afford microphones.
It sounds like James Wan's movie making process.
But at the end, big they summon the shark monster and the shark goddess and the shark king show up, and they Bigfoot arbitrarily deus ex machina the shark people, and that's it. The movie's over.
Jeez. It sounds so really bad, Dave. And I know you could write that so much better.
It's real, real, real bad. Now, to parallel this with, like, my own writing, NaNoWriMo's going on right now. Now, with everything that's going on with what's going on with Tumbleweed and everything, I kind of realized that, like, I was not going to be able to finish a whole novel this month.
Yeah.
Kind of like all the excitement that's going on there. But my first completed novel, I did do NaNoWriMo in 2006. It was for a novel that I wrote called Happy Valley. And at the time when I wrote it, I was 25. And I was very proud of it back then. I don't know how proud I am of it now.
Yeah.
I definitely have mixed feelings for it. I wish I had been more mature, because with writing, especially with like prose and novels, it's that you have no limits. It's that you can choose to fill that space with anything, tell any story you want. And I look at Happy Valley, and it's definitely the book of a 25-year-old.
Yeah.
And part of me wishes that I had been more mature back then, and that I had taken more time to like outline it so it wasn't quite so frantic, and like you don't really know where it's going until kind of like the last third, when I force myself to like actually like, we need to wrap all these plot elements you've been introducing, we need to pay all this stuff off. So I brought the plane in for a landing, but it was kind of, you can tell if you read that book that like I was just kind of like flying by the seat of my pants. And there's a lot in it that a 25-year-old who has spent a lot of time in LDS singles wards and you know, other things. Like, I chose not to write about my war experience back then, because you know, back in 2006, everybody like it was like so common to write about the war on terror and like, you know, like what America should be fighting for and all this stuff. Yeah. Now I kind of wish I had done that. But so I chose to write about that, the other side of my life. So it's definitely a book written by a 25-year-old. And now I'm just like, I appreciate Happy Valley for what it is, my first novel. Of course, it's very significant, but I also kind of like recognize it for what it is, and I don't want it to be like my complete legacy. I kind of want to do stuff more with my writing career than, you know, just be, you know, the guy who wrote Happy Valley.
Yeah.
Tim Ritter, and this is kind of like why I find this kind of thing particularly offensive, is that Tim Ritter doesn't seem to want to improve.
No, like, it doesn't seem like it.
Like, it, like, you look at, and it goes back to what we were talking about before, you look at Truth or Dare that came out in 1986 that he wrote when he was 17 years old, and you look at Sharks of the Corn, and you're just like, you're still not only are you still doing the same thing, you are getting progressively worse. I mean, yeah. Like, Okay, so I guess it's a better way to put this to you at least, and to people who are familiar with the podcast or the work of Riff Tracks. Which is better production wise, and which is better storytelling wise, Truth or Dare or Feeders?
I think production wise, Truth or Dare is a little bit better.
Okay.
Not now, by much, but a little
now,
bit.
Okay. Imagine creatively, you made Truth or Dare in 1986.
Okay.
And in 2021, you made Feeders. Number one, how do you do that? And number two, how can you be proud of what you've been doing with your life?
You can't.
Like Tim Ritter, if I know Tim Ritter's not in the chat, but if somehow you do, if you listen to this, bro, what are you doing with your life? I'm serious. Like, if I had, like he doesn't have like a huge amount of fame, but he has a little.
Yeah.
And this is kind of like what you choose to continue to do. Like, I mean, do the math for me. If he was 17 in 1986, how old is he now?
I don't know. Let me just look at his IMDb.
Yeah, do that.
Mike in the chat says Feeders is at least earnest.
Yes. Sharks of the Corn is not. So I think what I find particularly I don't know if offensive is the right word, but it rubs me the wrong way that this guy has been doing this for this long. But he just wants to make juvenile garbage and just like crap it out there and say to the world,
he's 56.
Hey, okay, he's 56 years old. If I was 56, I would be I'm about to be 43. If I put that out into the world, especially after I've been doing this since 86, 96, 2006, 2016.
It's
so
like 40 years almost.
Yeah. That 3 decades at least plus 8, so 38 years.
Yeah. You'd expect some sort of improvement.
No, but like if this is like
period of time,
this is the kind of garbage that I mean, it's worse than trauma crap. And like this is like what you just crap it out. Like this is my legacy, world. This is what I did with my time on Earth. Like this sounds really bad, and I don't mean to, but it really is.
Yeah.
It's like, dude,
I can't disagree with you at all.
So, I mean, that's kind of like where I am with Sharks of the Corn and why I kind of really don't want to be associated with an idea that produced that. That's kind of like I'm apprehensive about doing a full revival of Corn Shark is because this movie is actually kind of famous. They even put Stephen King's Shark of the Corn.
Yeah.
On it, and you go and you look at the reviews for it, and people are not digging it. Like people are like, "It's so bad, it's stupid." Like it's not a so bad, it's good. It's just, yeah. Like if I was in Tim Ritter's position and I had the kind of audience that he clearly already does have, and I'd been doing this for this long, I would try to do something like try to make my time on Earth a little more worthwhile than making Sharks of the Corn. And this is coming from a guy who wrote a novel about a wish-granting monkey and also a guy who used to wrestle as a bee man.
Charlie B, buzz buzz.
Buzz buzz. So what I'm saying is grow up.
A wish granting very foul mouthed monkey. It was too much for
some old lady on Amazon.
Mom.
Yeah. So that's my rant about Sharks of the Corn. Is there anything else you want to ask me about it? Because like that, that's really all I have to say about it.
No, you've painted a pretty good picture of how bad this movie is. The True Blue rant cast has now come to an end.
This is just this whole episode is
just ranting. But like Citizen Yarn said, everyone needs to vent sometimes.
No, it's true.
Especially us.
So I guess we don't have to do the list because this is not a Riff Tracks, but
yeah, it'd be kind of hard to do a list and not really like have
what,
anything
like
to...
like what I would I watch this unriffed. It's like, well, I did watch it unriffed. I didn't like it at all.
Yep, and you watched it twice. It's okay. I'll put myself through it. I promise I will put myself through this movie as well.
You don't have to, dude.
No, I will. No. I will.
No, dude, don't. I'm serious. Guys, don't watch this movie.
I'll do it while I'm on hold with Google for 2 hours tomorrow.
It is a waste of your time. Like, even if you like bad movies like we do, because we watch Haunted Ween, we watch Light Blast, we watch Dinosaur Island, we've watched Dinosaur. Roller Gator, we've watched Baby Ghost, we've watched Copper Mountain, we've watched Things, we've watched Cats, okay? We've watched Oblivion 1 and 2, okay? We watched all these things that sometimes we like and sometimes we don't. This is worse than all of them.
I really, really hope that out of all the Fred Olin Ray movies, that we don't get Dinosaur Island.
We don't
get
Dinosaur Island.
I really, really, really hope we don't get that one. I will take any other Fred Olin Ray
movie. I really hate that I was so negative about. I was really hate that I was so negative through that whole thing, because usually there's like something in it that is like redeemable, like with Roller Gator. I think like it's. Dude, the charm of Roller Gator is just, I know people disagree with me, but the charm of Roller Gator is just like so, it's just so Roller Gator that I love it.
It actually has a personality, like.
Yeah. I think for all its flaws, Baby Ghost is redeemable.
I think I might need to watch that
a little bit.
Honestly.
I think we might be too harsh on it, but that's all I got.
That is very real. I think that's what I'm going to do. I might rewatch Baby Ghost tomorrow.
Okay, yeah, do that. Don't watch Sharks
instead
of
Sharks
guys.
Of the Corn.
Life is too, like, no, don't reward this, don't reward this behavior.
Yeah.
Go watch Inspector Mom. You'll love that.
Oh, Inspector Mom was a hell of a lot of fun. It was a great riff.
I can think of, like, I could probably name, like, 5 or 6 movies right now you could watch instead of
Go
Sharks
watch
of the
Riff
Corn.
Tracks Live Rad, now available on VOD, and you can see me in the credits for, like, an instant. Me and my big doofy grin on my face because I was super stoked to be there. But yeah,
I don't have anything else. You got anything?
No, I don't. I think that's probably going to be it for us today. Yeah. I don't have anything else. I got nothing else. The True Blue Rant cast today. Next week, I'm sure they'll release something on Friday.
Yeah.
And if they don't, maybe we'll finally get around to Samson and Delilah.
We talked about Samson and Delilah.
Amityville Dollhouse.
We talked about it for
an
hour and a half.
Amityville Dollhouse, yes. Yeah. I bet
that
Amityville
was a good,
Dollhouse.
No, Samson and Delilah was a fantastic time.
Yes, that was a good time.
You should watch Samson and Delilah instead of Sharks of the Court.
That was a really good riff. But yeah, I really want to watch Amityville Dollhouse. I haven't had the chance to watch that one yet, so.
Yeah,
I'll probably watch
that
and Baby Ghost tomorrow. But yeah, that's going to do it for us today. You can find us online. You can find me any social media platform. Just look for PB and Awesome, and I'll probably be the one that pops up. If you like the podcast and want to support us at all, the easiest way to do that is to follow us right here on Twitch so you get notified whenever we go live. Join Dave's Discord. Usually we put stuff in there when we're getting ready to go live. Once we know what we're going to talk about, it's going to get a little better than that.
Oh yeah, we had a great discussion today about psychopaths who crash weddings and profess their love for the bride, and how that is not a thing you should do. It was a great time. Everyone was on the same page. I thought maybe there was going to be some people like defending
yes,
psychopaths
do it.
That do that, but no, guys, don't do that. Guys, look around. It's too late.
Yeah.
She's marrying somebody else.
She's already getting married. Don't try it. You can also go to patreon.com/truebluerifcast and you maybe throw us $2 there per month if you want to, or if you can't, whatever. It doesn't matter. We love you guys anyway, and then just even if you just listen after the fact, that's fine. Talking about riff tracks and ranting about bad experiences with customer service, apparently. And you can follow the True Blue Riffcast still up on Twitter, or X, formerly known as Twitter, I think is what the official title is for it now.
It's X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah. That's what the emails say. X, formerly known as Twitter. I don't know. It's too much of a pride point, I think, at this point. TB Riffcast, we're still up on there. I still post stuff every once in a while on there for the podcast.
Oh yeah, and I'm Dave. I'm on there at the Chadwick Author. Got it right, and that's amazing. And I'm also like I said, join the Discord. We'll put a link somewhere. I don't know. And yeah, that's it. Search for me on Amazon and Audible.
Yes, and go read the Foulmouth Wish Granting Monkey book. It's very entertaining. I'll be able to talk on the other books soon, I would hope, because I haven't actually. Thank you, Citizen Yarn, for wishing me luck on the phone quest tomorrow. The phone quest continues. Hopefully, the quest will be able to end soon. Yeah, phone quest.
It's the Disney Plus sequel to Sequest, the Phone Quest.
Phone Quest. All right. That's going to do it for us today, guys. We will see you next time right here on the True Blue Riffcast.
Rock till you die.
Rock till you die.